So we're going to begin by saying the Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra three times, and then we will recite the four immeasurables. It's in your white prayer book if you have it, and if you have a gold prayer book, I believe it's on page 34. So, Taya ta omune munai maha munai soha Taya ta omune munai maha munai soha Taya ta omune munai maha munai soha. And we're going to say the four immeasurables in English, and then we will chant it once in Tibetan. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sam Chan Cham Che Chenrezig mantras, and then seven green tower mantras.
Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Taritu Taritura Soha, Om Taritu Taritura Soha, Om Taritu Taritura Soha. Om Taritu Tariture Soha. Om Taritu Tariture Soha. Om Taritu Tariture Soha. Om Taritu Tariture Soha.
Thanks. So, story time? Okay? 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 So, are you going to come up closer? Okay. Okay. Whatever. Okay. So, this is a story about three friends who became very, very, very good friends. And it's not a story from the Buddha, but I kind of think it's a Buddhist story. So it was winter, and it was a time when people kind of stayed indoors a lot near the fire and made good, delicious, warm soup. And Muskrat and Mole spent a lot of time together. Molly hung out with Muskrat because Mole's house was a little too small for Muskrat, but Rat's house was just fine for Mole. And they had had a wonderful lunch of soup and bread, and they'd been talking, and Mole says, "I want to meet Badger. I've been asking you for months. I want to meet Badger." And he said, Muskrat said, "Well, you know, now's not the time. He's probably not at home. And if he's at home, he's asleep. He just doesn't like people just dropping in on him. You know, he's kind of a private person." And Mole said, "Oh, but you've been promising." He said, "Don't worry. Someday it will happen." So after lunch, Muskrat sitting in his warm, comfortable chair near the fire, pretty soon he was just snoozing. And Mole thought, "I just have to take care of this myself. No one's going to help me meet Badger." So he put on his galoshes, boots, and his coat and hat and mittens and gloves, and he went off to find Badger, which means he had to go to the Wildwood. And so he went to the Wildwood, and he walked and he walked, and then he was getting tired, so he started to fall down. And then he was getting more and more tired, and then he realized he was lost, and he had no idea where Badger lived. And he was also getting scared because animals bigger than he is were poking their noses around corners and looking at him. And so he finally just dove into a pile of leaves and hid himself, thinking, "I just don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm just dead beat, and I have to rest." Well, in the meantime, Ratty wakes up and says, Mole, time for tea. Well, there's no answer. Rat looks around and he can't find any sign of Mole, and he looks at the peg, you know, which is of course lower than Ratty's so he could hang up his coat. And he says, his galoshes are gone, his coat is gone, his hat is gone, and he says, "Oh, Mole, where are you? I must come find you." So he got himself dressed as warm as he could and picked up his cudgel, a big stick that had a knob on the end of it, just in case he had to protect himself and Mole. And he went off to the Wildwood. And he's walking around and he's walking around and he's calling, Moley, where are you? And he's not getting any answer, and he's getting more and more worried. And finally he hears this little pathetic voice saying, "Ratty, is that you? Ratty. And Mole says, "Where are you?" And this little nose sticks out from under the neat leaves and says, "I'm over here, Ratty, I'm over here." So Rat comes over and says, What were you thinking? "I've been so worried about you." He says, "I wanted to go meet Badger." And he said, "I told you it would happen someday." And he said, "We must get back. It's almost dark." And Mole said, "I'm just dead beat. I just need to rest some more." And so Ratty said, "Okay, I'll keep watch while you rest." So Mole kind of snuffled off to sleep. And Ratty kind of watched. And when Mole woke up, They looked out, they buried themselves in this pile of leaves, and they looked out, and it was snowing, and it was all white. Well, you know, have you ever been out in the snow and how everything looks really, really different after it snows? Even though we don't get a lot of snow, it looks, streets you recognize look completely different. So they said, there's nothing for it, we must start. So they started walking and walking, and of course pretty soon they realized they'd been walking in circles, and they were tripping and falling, and at this point they were tired, they were cold, and they were wet all the way through from the snow going down their boots. So, and then they see a little dell, a little dip in the ground with hummocks, and they thought, well, maybe the snow, it's snowing harder, it's getting colder, and Ratty says, we have to find shelter, we just won't do okay out here. And so they started down this little hill. Well, what does happen? But Mole trips and falls again, only this time he goes, Ratty, I hurt my knee. And so Mole indeed goes over and looks at it and says, "Oh, yes, you have cut yourself." And Mole says, "Dumb branch." And Moses says, I don't think this was a branch. It's just too clean a cut. So he looks around, and what does he see but a boot scraper in the middle of the woods? In the middle of the woods. So, he says, and he starts to dig. And Moses says, what are you doing? Why are you digging up the snow? Why is there somebody just dropped it? And said, so he finds a doormat. And he says, where there's a doormat, there must be a door. And Mole still kind of is like, what is Ratty doing? And he says, come on, help me dig, help me dig. Well, lo and behold, after they've dug, a green door appears. And what does it say on the green door? It says, Mr. Badger. Well, they start to knock and ring the doorbell. Well, Mole can't reach the doorbell, so Ratty lifts him up, and he's hanging on the doorbell, going like this. Ratty's pounding on the door. Well, they hear the shuffling, and Badger opens the door and says, oh, what is that? And they said, it's us. It's Ratty and Mole. What are you doing here in this weather? Come on in. So he brings them in, takes them into the kitchen, and it's warm and it's bright. And he says, you've got to get those clothes off. You're just cold and wet to the bone. And he goes and gets, you know, dressing gowns, warm, flannel, fuzzy, and he wraps them in it and puts them on the couch and says, I'll make some hot chocolate, and you just stay here and warm up. And so they do, and they're just so relieved. And Badger's place is just wonderful. It's bright and cheery with the bright fire and the warm, the snuggy couch and whatever. And so he warms them up. And then he says, well, you must be famished. We'll have dinner. He said, and then I want to hear about your adventure. So they eat this wonderful dinner, and he starts to tell them about their adventure. And guess what? They can barely talk because they're getting so tired. They're warm, and they're full, and they're going, well, then this happened. And Badger says, I think it's time for us all to go to bed. And he tucks them in their Molly has a little bed about this big. Rat has a big bed. And he says, sleep in the morning. Don't worry. Sleep as late as you can. And that's just what they did. Well, of course, when they woke up the next morning and went into the kitchen, there was Badger making breakfast. Pumpkin pancakes. Pumpkin pancakes, yeah. With apples and syrup and butter. What a feast. And so everybody gets full again. Badger says, I think, looked outside, it stopped snowing, but the snow is so deep. We need to get you home. People will be worried. I will break a trail that you can follow, because I don't think your little short legs are going to work so well in the snow. And that's just what Badger did. And he got them back to the river where they lived, out of the wildwood. And he said, I hope to see you again soon. And they said, oh, yes, Badger, oh, yes, we would love to see you again soon. And Badger said, well, how about Christmas and stuff? And they said, that's a plan, but you're going to have to come get us because we're not going in the wildwood alone again. And that's the story of how Badger and Ratty and Mole were friends. After that adventure, they became very, very good friends. The end.
The end. That was so fast.
See ya. You guys can go to your classes now, okay?
Yay!
Yay! Ooh, I like your skink.
Mommy, here's my bed.
Well, the copyright has expired on Wind in the Willows, so it won't be in trouble for selling it. They're now coming up with intergenerational copyright, so it's going to be a challenge as time goes on and stuff. So, I was thinking about having to do this morning. I guess I should consider it a privilege, but being somewhat, it's also a challenge, a privilege and a challenge. And I was thinking about, you know, when Geshe-la comes to the point where he's going to talk, he, you know, closes his eyes and kind of seems to disappear for a minute, and then he opens his eyes and absolutely wonderful things come out of his mouth. Sorry, that's not going to happen this morning. But what I'd like to do is usually I'd like us to begin with meditation, but what I'm going to suggest is that we, Geshe-la talks about just watching our breath, you know, paying attention to the sensations as our we move in and out, you know, to kind of settle and be here. But what I'm going to do is, you know, once we've done that for a couple of minutes, I'm going to read something from the 17th Karmapa. It's very brief. And while in that place of calm, I'd like us to take like maybe three or four more minutes. In that place of calm, I would like to reflect on your experience in this life of how you have been both an actor and a recipient of what happens in this quote. So let's just take a couple of minutes to settle, watch our breath, and then I will read and we'll kind of just reflect for a minute. One of the kinds of meditation that we use in Buddhism is to come to a place of calm and then pick something to think about. It is love that leads us to embrace our connectedness to others and to participate willingly in the relations created by our interdependence. Love can melt away our defenses and our painful sense of isolation. And when you're ready, finish that thought. Come back to the room. So, usually, you know, we have an opportunity to introduce ourselves. But what I'd like to suggest is that you find someone to introduce yourself to. But what I'd like you to do is to share what came to mind during this reflection. You know, please listen and stay, you know, try and stay connected with that experience. And it's really okay to move. You know, we don't have to just, and we're going to do this twice so that we have the experience of connecting with two different people. So, I'm going to take this thing off and so everybody doesn't have to hear what I'm sharing, and get up and introduce myself to someone. And so, and let's take about, you know, probably about 5 minutes to do that. And then we'll switch. Well, whatever's going on here. Hello? Let's switch. Hello? Hey, team.
Hey, guys.
Let's switch, okay? Find somebody else to introduce yourself to, please. Find... I know it's going to be hard, but let's settle back. Hello? Hey. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Well, is anybody able to think of an experience to share? Or did you just have fun talking? Good, good. So, what?
I don't know how to just ask a question and not get a response.
So what came to mind for me was the parent-child relationship. Because with the parent-child relationship, it's all about love, unconditional love. But the balance of the give and take in that love changes and evolves for us throughout our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're the child, the little child, we need something different. And then when we become the parents of small children, you often find yourself between your own parents and your children. And then as your children age, and then as your parents age, that balance changes again. So I can see that give and take of love in that balance.
Okay, well, so she was a plant, so she could introduce what I was going to say next. So thank you very much. So what is interdependence and, in a sense, our interconnectedness from a Buddhist point of view? And how can it maybe help us in our daily life? A way of thinking about it is that in Buddhism there are no accidents. I guess if you study very deeply and philosophically, there might be some things, but I'm not there. So on the whole, there's just no accidents in Buddhism. Everything we meet, everything, who we meet, what we do, our environment, are all product of causes and conditions coming together. From this point of view, it's created by our actions and the actions of those around us. So, how might this be helpful? Everyone in this room are potential causes for our happiness. And the capacity to benefit others. They're also potential cause and condition for our suffering. It's not a very recent example, but I'll use an example, from my own experience about 18 months ago, I ended up in the hospital and had to have emergency surgery. And very surprisingly, I was in the hospital for 10 days, which is kind of unusual. Usually they kick you out pretty fast. And of course, as a result of that, I was exposed to a number of different caretakers. And what struck me was that the same blood pressure check or whatever they were coming in to do or giving me medication or a procedure that needed to be done every day, the difference in the way I experienced it, the procedure was always the same. The medication was always the same. But the difference in the way I experienced it was very dependent on the person and their way of being with me. And it's not because they did things slower. It's not because they even took more time. It was just a way of their being present that enabled me to feel, that it helped me not feel like an object in the hospital, but a person, and to feel connected to this. And I've thought about that, that experience a lot in terms of our day-to-day capacity to connect with others in even during the most mundane tasks and chores. So that's kind of just one, it sounds like a pretty dramatic example, but I'm always struck when I have to deal with people on the phone currently it's about health insurance, which feels like a entering a black hole. And I think it's probably true for many of us. When, you know, when people are, you know, really, they're patient with my not understanding. They really are attempting to answer my questions. And I know that there's, you know, because you've had that little thing that says, you've been on hold, and you know that there's, you know, five people behind them, and that as soon as they get off the phone with you, I mean, it's unrelenting, the people that they're going to be talking to all day, and yet they put in the energy to be present and help me, even though they may not be giving me what I want. And, of course, sometimes I will acknowledge I've had to end conversations and say, you know, I'm going to get really unpolite here because this isn't going very well. I think I should call you back. You know, because it's the best I can do at the moment, you know. I'm so like, But I think that's an example of how, you know, we're just connected every day and how we have an opportunity every day. And I appreciate the comment about parenting because, you know, I think as a parent, and there's a lot of parents in this room, there's times when that interdependence and dependence is overwhelming. You know? And there's times when you want more of it. Why are they going away? Why are they getting independent? Why? causes and conditions? And I'm just talking about it. It's a very complex web that I don't think I often take for granted and don't even think about. You know, everything that happens due to various causes and conditions, and it shows us that everything that exists is a cause that affects others and is affected in turn in a vast complex, so that no act that we do is an act in isolation. Nothing exists in isolation. And since there's always an effect about what we do, it means that if we change, what happens around us changes. And I think that's a hard one, because a lot of times I think if what would around me change, then I would change and it would work out okay. And it's hard for me often to get my head around the fact that, you know, that that I have a lot of responsibility for the change. So, the Karmapa says, that we are never ever really separate, that others are a part of us. You can exist in connection with others. And when we see this, we can see that how our own happiness and suffering is dependent on others. And when we only think of ourselves, the chances of really having kind of long-lasting happiness kind of diminish. Although I have been known to eat a pint of ice cream all by myself. Now, the impact on myself and those around me when I'm afflicted by a sugar high, I'm not always willing to admit or recognize. But, when I was reading, I came across this thing about containers. And this is, I'm terrible at languages but I'm always struck by, not always, frequently struck by how words in Tibetan have such great resonance. When we, you know, think of containers, we think of just an object that holds something, you know. Currently, even though, you know, our mind is not material, currently our bodies and brains are kind of it's housed temporarily, so to speak, the way it helps it function in the world. So there's container, something that holds, and then there's contents. Well, the Tibetan word for contents is nutrients. And so we ourselves, we're contained by the world, but we can be nourishment for the world. A very practical way of thinking about that is carbon dioxide and oxygen. We exhale carbon dioxide. Plants need carbon dioxide to live and grow, and then they exhale oxygen, you know? And when we start thinking about that, you know, there's so much around that nourishes us and that we nourish, and that is, you know, and we cannot live separate from any of it or interdependently. And I think that the connections of this interdependence are really much more vast than we usually envision. And I'm bringing this up from, you know, kind of from the point of view of the Dalai Lama, who says, you know, when you think about interdependence, and you really follow it through, how can you not have some sense of concern and responsibility for the world you live in? And he points out that just even from a practical point of view, you know, just, you know, regardless. So I seem to be floundering quite a bit, but that's not surprising. And, you know, we talked about, well, how could it be beneficial in our daily life, you know? And I began thinking about when I get frightened or when I get angry, or greedy, wanting something. And I thought, well, what's going on there? And it's often because I've kind of made this assumption that there's only one solution to the situation. You know, it's like, it's all my responsibility and I've got to fix it. And it's just, there's just one way, you know, and what happens when we do that is that, you know, our method becomes not very useful. It becomes extremely stressful, and it's usually pretty unrealistic. So a fuller knowledge of our interdependence, you know, kind of thinking, I guess a phrase might be outside the box, can help us in dealing with things. I guess an example would be, I don't know, people can come up with their own examples, but I think an example might be when you're, you know, you've got bills that are unmanageable, you know, feel unmanageable, and there feels like there's kind of no solution. And when you, and sometimes it is, sometimes they are, but there's often a way through, and it's rarely the way through you think it's going to be. Yeah. So I think our senses bring us into connection with each other. You know, when you think about, you know, today not being I guess that today would be a day when I walked outside and it felt like the world was a wet blanket. I was very grateful for air conditioning and feeling quite dependent on it. At the same time, there's been other mornings I've awakened this week that we've gone outside and it's just been glorious and fresh and pristine, and it immediately made my day happier. So air conditioning made me happier today. The weather made me happier another day, and I'm dependent on all of that, and I come into relationship with it. So let me see. Do I have it? Okay. So compassion and caring about others really is a byproduct of realizing how interdependent we are. You know, when we look around and realize that all beings want to be happy, they don't want suffering, and that, that they don't want suffering, we really realize that, and that we realize that whether or not we're happy or suffering is dependent on other beings, you begin to have concern for others, maybe just for selfish reasons, but also realizing if you can really kind of get the feeling that, you know, others really just want to be happy, just like I do. They may be going about it in a pretty lopsided way. I've certainly gone about it in a lopsided way, and I can't believe since you might all be enlightened, so, and be here to make me work hard today. So, but as long as we're kind of, you know, not completely perfect, and it's our interdependence, in terms of the own causes and conditions that we create, and our interdependence in terms of all of the causes and conditions we come in contact with that makes change possible. And for me, change is hope. And I have a sense that we all need a lot of hope right now. I mean, we always need a lot of hope, but for me, these are pretty scary times. You know? I was at Light of the Path up in Black Mountain when the hurricane decided to go west, and it was going to, and only, it ended up only just being a small arm of it that hit Black Mountain and Asheville and surrounding areas. And the perspectives on it, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche said, you know, prayers will help. So prayers will help the people in the here, and they will help the people in Puerto Rico. This was Irma, you know. They will just help. And so we were doing a lot of that, and it was interesting because everybody said, oh, we don't have to worry. Lama Zopa will take care of everything. Lama Zopa will take care of everything. And then I thought, because Lama Zopa has this incredible compassion for all beings. I mean, that's my experience. So, and I'm thinking, well, maybe Lama Zopa will do something and the hurricane won't bother us. And then I was thinking, no, if Lama Zopa thought it was more important for other people to be protected than us, because we're all here together praying, well, don't assume and stuff. So, but a little story about that. So people were, you know, do we need to evacuate? There's people from all over the world there. So, and not a lot of experience with hurricanes and this rain and stuff. So they were like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do this and stuff? So we were, made sure everybody had flashlights and, you know, raincoats and all of that stuff. And we, So it hit, and it was, you know, wind and rain, and everybody's been through it here, so I don't need to describe what it was like. And the next morning, I had some responsibility to do some errands, and so I called some stores, and nobody was open in Asheville or Black Mountain because there was no power. And that was very interesting because Black Mountain is a little town, but Blue Ridge Assembly, where we was, like up on a hill, so it's like the most exposed. So Asheville didn't have power for 24 hours, Black Mountain didn't have power for 24 hours, and Blue Ridge Assembly never lost power. You know, so I have no idea what causes and conditions came together for that to be possible, but they're sure a lot more complex than I can have. So that's really, but I do think it's a huge cause of, it's a cause of compassion. It's what enables, you know, as I said, us to change, to become the kind of sentient beings or human beings we aspire to be. And so that's, my little kind of talk on interdependence. But we're going to do an experience of connectedness. And I need my volunteers to come up. I think Sebastian is in the nursery helping his mom. So there's many ways in which we're connected. But I like to give people suggestions, so I'm going to give people suggestions. Would you take a ball and find a corner? And let's see. Blue, white, green. Oh, you want to help? Okay, well, when Sebastian comes in, you can work with Sebastian, okay? So I need 1, 2, 3. Where's... I have Miranda. Where? Orion. Here's Sebastian. And is Zane going to join? Here, Zane. Okay. Sebastian, you have an assistant. Lucia is going to help you, okay? So what we're going to do is these, we've got four corners, and, you know, Zane, you want to stay up here? Because I think this will be the best way to do it. I'm not sure what's the best way to do it. So what we're going to do is... these yarn herders are going to start passing this ball of yarn around, and each of us is going to end up holding a strand of yarn. And by the time we're done, all of us will be holding 5 strands of yarn. So do you want to just get started? Start anywhere you want, Zane. And you guys start, and they're herders because sometimes it can kind of get a little bit interesting trying to get everybody connected. Yeah, thanks. So, I've not spoken very eloquently about our interdependence or connections, but to think about, you know, there are no accidents. You know, every moment we're creating hundreds of seeds, and I bet you I'm going to end way early. No, not really. Hundreds of seeds. There are causes and conditions that can ripen for us to become in contact with each other. In Buddhism, there's 5 elements. There's air, water, fire, earth, and space. So one can think about these strings as the 5 elements that are the source of kind of how everything manifests. One can think about it as the environment we live in, the air, the water, the roads, the trees. We can think about it as our earth and the universe interconnected with the planets and the stars and the sun. We can think about it as our innate goodness. In Buddhism, our innate nature, our core, is a potential for just amazing goodness and clairvoyance. See, and this is the point. Relationships can be very complicated. You know, and they can be naughty. Naughty and naughty. You know, and at the same time they can be a little bit fun. You know, so they can connect us. They can give us a sense of limit. Hey, what's happening to this side of the room? We got to get going over here. God, these guys are string short, yarn short. We'll get them. It will all come to you. The desire to be happy and not to suffer connects all of us. Hard to believe, but friends, family, strangers, and enemies connect us. Sometimes my connection with enemies is stronger than my connection with friends. I mean, it's all happening in my mind, but it's happening. So as I said, relationships are fairly, you know, they're complicated. They take time. They take patience. When is the white yarn going to come to me? Hey, and so for the yarn people, we got to make sure everybody, blue, yep, Miranda's a great yarn herder. You guys are doing, thank you, I get to hold some yarn. What?
You're part of us too.
Yeah, I am. I hope to be. Oh, thank you very much, Lucia. Thank you, Sebastian. Whoops. Here we go. And you can trip on your relationships. There you go. Okay, so we need some green over here, I think. Oh, Donna, you need some, you can come hold it with me when the time comes. You know, when the time comes. You can bring a chair because I know you're going to have to do announcements. How are we coming? So, what color would you like your relationships to be? I like them when they're green and blue. I like sunshine. Oh, good. Oh, somebody has all five. Is that white yours, Zane? Okay, you're missing white. And so one way of thinking about it is white is the, you know, your crown chakra. Red is your throat chakra for your speech. Blue is your heart chakra. You know, body, speech, and mind. Hey, Zane, how we doing? Okay, you guys need some red, white and red. You're still short of white and red. Okay. So, now, it looks like chaos, but, you know, there was a cause for every string of yarn that came to you. Whoops, I don't want to tip over the flowers. Excuse me, thank you. Whoops, thank you. And, you know, and at the end, all the yarn herders have to be able to hold all five strings. So we got to figure that one out too, you know. The yarn herders can't be separate. Dorothy, what are you missing? I think you're missing yellow and No, white, right? Are you missing white, Dorothy? Yeah, okay. And you are missing Shane's, oh, here the red, here comes the red. Susan, you're missing red, right? Okay. You guys didn't know you were going to have to be acrobats to do this, did you? Thank you. How are you guys coming? Okay. Everybody got okay.
Now I need to get Donna.
Okay, you're gonna go get Donna. There you go. Yeah, and then you guys got to come together and hold all the colors. So we're gonna be good. Oh, and now I have white.
Does everybody have blue?
Everybody got blue. See, this is oh. Good job, Orion. Okay. And white for Donna?
Okay.
And then can you guys, everybody? Okay. Everybody got, does everybody have five colors? What are you missing? Oh, they're getting it. Okay. Okay. Need some white. See, isn't it interesting how easy it is to miss a relationship? Or miss a connection, you know. I've done that on more than one occasion. Oops. Okay. Come on up, yarn herders. They have it? They got it all? Have we got it all? Everybody's have to speak up. Okay. So I'm just going to ask us to sit with this for a minute, you know, now that we're kind of all connected, somewhat comfortably, maybe in part moments not so comfortably. Here we go. And do you guys want to sit? 'Cause this is going to take a minute, okay? Here we go. Yeah, it'd be nice if they all lit up, wouldn't it? Yeah. Turn off the lights, get all light up, you know? Okay. So, we good? Yeah. There you go. Okay. So, start with love. Whoops. Oh, losing track of our relationships. Love in such a way that the person you love feels free. The Buddha said, fill your mind with compassion. Lean toward the light and connect to abundance. Enjoy rituals of pleasure and just be where you are. Do what makes you feel alive. You are loved and supported. Remembering a wrong is like carrying a burden on your head. Absolute attention is prayer. The Dalai Lama says, be kind whenever possible and is always possible. Say hello with love. The greatest prayer is patience. I should practice that one. Deep within each of us is a magic jewel that cannot be scratched, no matter the difficulties. It is the source of healing, joy, and wisdom. May you be joyful and free toward yourself and others. Love in such a way that the person you love feels free. The words you speak become the house you live in and bring love into each step. Your happiness serves the world. The Buddha says, if you knew and understood what I know about giving, you would never miss a chance to share a meal with someone. I like that one. I'm Italian. You can achieve great things with a simple hug. Do things that nourish your soul. Thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. The Buddha. Each small task is part of life's dance. Soften into your heart by letting go. A shadow says that light is here. We are all just walking each other home. Usually we close by saying the Shanti Deva's dedication together, but I'm just going to ask that we sit connected, and I'm going to read it. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing and the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all beings' medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, so long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And just, I hope you can take even a tiny bit of this into your week. We're going to close with seven green Tara mantras, and we're going to say it for the long life of our teacher, Geshe Gelug, but also with the intention for all of us, you know, to be free. And to be free of obstacles, and to always know that with the shadows, there's always light. Because our greatest joy to Geshe-la, he says all the time, is that we think of living as a community and benefiting each other. And that's the greatest gift we can offer him. So, for those who wish, Om Tari Tu Tari Ture Soha. 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 Well, I'm done, and I turn it over to our sponsor.
Just a couple of announcements. We've got Kim is here, Kim Lilik, to lead a new member orientation. So if you're interested in becoming a member of Kadampa Center, and we do this every Sunday. I'm teasing about the yarn every Sunday. If you want to get really entangled with us, Kim will lead that orientation right here in the back of the Gampa when we're done in here. And then our thanks to Venerable Kondo. I also wanted to let you know Geshe Gelug is out of the country at the moment, but for the next several Sundays we will have Geshe Tsongpo teaching. So that's very exciting. We'll have a chance to get a little closer to him. That's all I've got. Jill, do you have anything? So we've got new hoodies. I guess that's it. Have a great week. So you can just go ahead and leave your yarn, and then if we could have a volunteer to take down the water offering bowls, that would be appreciated. Thank you.